a nugget for me. And if you have your Bibles, as we begin, turn to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 11. We'll start there. It's a blessing that we have the air conditioner working, and made sure I came by earlier this afternoon and made sure the technician tell me what exactly he thought was wrong, got all that information. So we're now in a nice, cool air-conditioned building. Thank God for air conditioning. I'm pretty sure heaven's going to be air conditioned. We're going to be good there. So I'm going to be watching our teenagers here, making sure you guys are paying attention. Thank you very much. Good, nice to wave hands. Make sure you guys don't get on the video recording there. You got me on the Bible app? All right, I'll be paying attention. We got you guys. 11:1. I'm going to talk to you guys about five powerful prayers in the Bible. And one of them, as we start off in Luke 11:1, and we'll flip over to Psalm 90, and we're going to do some movement in Scripture. We're going to go back from Old Testament, New Testament, and there's some things I want you to see particularly. But Luke 11:1, as we begin our thought process, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." There's only a couple places in Scripture where the idea, the words put together, say, teach us. Where we are to literally become the student. You guys love being a student, don't you? We all loved school when we were in it. The truth is, our teenagers here sometimes love school, probably more often not loving school than they do. And they realize that school is a necessity, and it's a necessary evil. We get older, right? Brother John vouched for me here. We get older, we wish we were back in school. Man, we had it so easy back then. And we're thinking, why didn't we just, you know, cherish the time and enjoy the easier laid-back life. And all the teenagers are thinking, what? We're not easy and laid-back. So the idea of being a student again, and if you're honest with yourself, no matter how old you are, you're never going to stop learning in life. Never. If you cease to learn, you cease to live. So the idea that the disciples were going to Jesus, and after he finished praying his prayer, they said, Master, teach us to pray. I mean, this is one of those things that we think it's so easy. What's so difficult? You just open up your mouth and you talk, right? Why is it so uncommonly done? Or lack of it? Why is there a lack of it in our life if it's so easy? Why then do the disciples say, teach us to pray? Is there a right way to pray? If there's a right way to pray, let's be a little student here. Is there a wrong way to pray? So we got to pay attention in Scripture when he says, teach us these things. In fact, in Psalm 90, verse 12, I'll flip over there real quick. This is one of my other favorite verses that David says. Psalm 90, verse 12, one more page. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. David's asking God to teach us to number our days. Teach us to be wise about our life and the fact that we have but a short time to live. So we're looking through Scripture to teach us some things. And tonight I want to teach you some things about prayer. We're talking about five powerful prayers in the Bible. Because I'll be honest with you, there's times in my life that I would go down to pray and I felt a loss of words. That I didn't know what to pray. And if you're going to be honest with me, look up here, teenagers. Remember, you listen with your eyeballs more than your ears. If you're honest with yourselves, sometimes you're at a loss for words. Sometimes you don't know what to say. I mean, he's God. And if you truly are in awe of his holiness and his omniscience and his omnipotence and the fact that he's the creator of the universe, and you get to go to his throne in prayer, I mean, who are we that we have access to the almighty creator of the universe, to the God who still holds the planets in their system, and we get to talk to him? I mean, you should feel more blessed and more honored to talk to God than you would any president of the United States or any great dignitary, any celebrity in Hollywood or any sports role model throughout all of the sporting world. I mean, it would be an honor. I thought it was an honor to shake the hands with our Vice President Mike Pence. I was in a position where I could shake his hand. He didn't know my name. He didn't have any idea who I was. He was passing by the crowd, and I got my hand in there so he can shake it. And that was it. And I thought that was an honorable thing. Because, man, I like Vice President Mike Pence. But I should feel more honored to be in the presence of God, to be able to speak to him. So I have been at times, and I'm honest with you, I hope you're honest with yourself, I've been at a loss of words to know what to pray. And so when I get confused, when I get dumbfounded and just don't know what to do, what is the best answer? Get back into God's word. Get back into the book. This is the very book that he wrote. This is the best guide for us to follow. And in almost every book in the Bible contains a plea or a request or a prayer, page after page, that points to the reasons why we need a Savior. So when we feel that we don't have the words to pray, we need to turn to the Word of God. So here are five, there are many more than this, but here are five different prayers that I think are important enough to more than just read. Here, listen up, teenagers. When you don't know what to say, say what the Bible is saying. Meaning, when he says, pray this, use your words and actually pray this. Let's turn to Matthew. We're going to skip around here. I'm going to follow the order there. I won't skip around. The first one, we'll do the prayer of Jabez. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this book. Go to the book of 1 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament. It's before Psalms. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. This is a book very seldom read because it has a lot of names that I cannot pronounce. And I literally sometimes don't need the lineage of all these people. I know that so-and-so had children, and they had children for many years, and that family was a long line of heritage and a lineage. And so I would read through, and I can't pronounce their names, but I know that this person had that person. But in the middle of all of this lineage, I'm talking about ages after ages, somewhere here, the writer of Chronicles thought it very important to pause and give us a little snippet of the life of one man. One verse. This was so powerful many years ago that they wrote a book about it. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. Ironically, it is exactly what it is. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. As you read through 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and you get to all these names in 1 through 9, in verse 10, it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, here it is, here's the prayer. Listen up. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. That was it. That's all we have of the life of Jabez, his prayer. So here's a couple things we notice about the prayer of Jabez. First thing, Jabez asked God to bless him. Don't you guys ask for blessings from God when you pray? I mean, you want God's blessing on your life, right? You want God's blessings on your hands and your actions, your teenagers for your tests. You want God's blessing for your brain to be able to remember the things you studied, to know the right answers, A, B, C, or D, right? You need God's blessings to understand some logic in class, and you need God's blessings on your social life, and you want God to bless you and having friends, and you want God to bless you and being kind and compassionate. And we want God's blessings, so of course that's a no-brainer. Second, here he asks to enlarge his territory or increase his responsibility here. As you read through the prayer of Jabez. Third, he prays that God will be with him and stay close. How many of you guys like God to stay close? See, sometimes we're not so sure we like God to stay close. Because listen, when God stays close, things have to be done right. I mean, there's this moral standard. We have this conviction. When things we do wrong, all of a sudden we feel ashamed. That was this morning's message. So lastly, Jabez asks that God keep him from harm so that he will flee, or so he will be free from pain. So why is all this important? Because the prayer of Jabez reveals that Jabez understands what many people do not. Maybe some of us in here. There's only one God. And he should be the center of our life. We would acknowledge that there's one God, but do we believe that there's one God? Do we truly act like there's only one God in our life? Secondly, what does it mean to us? Here the prayer of Jabez reminds us that everybody struggles with choosing to rely on ourselves or to rely on God. Whether we are a focused Christian or just searching to find out more about God, our life is a growing process. So the prayer of Jabez, and as we look into it, this is a very powerful prayer. It's very simple. It's very short, concise. But it has a lot of power. Any prayer answered by God is a powerful prayer. And as we don't know what to say sometimes in our prayer life, maybe we can follow after the example of Jabez, who was blessed by God, and say to God, you know what, God? I don't know much about this Jabez guy. I don't know much about whether or not if my life can mimic his or be a carbon copy, but I want the same thing Jabez had, and I want to pray this. And so as you don't know what to say, maybe you just read God's word in prayer. Maybe your prayer mimics and copies those exact words. Let me tell you what I mean. Turn to the book of Matthew. First book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. The second prayer that I think should be an example prayer in our life, a prayer that we should mimic and copy and be able to follow along, is the Lord's Prayer. This happens to be the classic prayer of Scripture. You see it on inscriptions, on different plaques everywhere. Most of us have said this. You can probably, maybe some of you can actually recite it in your memory. But there's much more to this model prayer that Jesus had given us than something we just recite. This is a prayer of real power. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And as this follows along with exactly what Jesus is speaking to them about, he's teaching them. And in his teachings, he starts off and says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So if you're praying, pray this way. Follow along. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's the model prayer. Not very long, not very wordy, It doesn't have to be eloquent in speech, but it has to be direct and to the point. Here's the six steps of this prayer that Jesus taught. One, to address God's rightful place as Father in your life. I prayed many times, and I hope my words, I say, our gracious Heavenly Father. I don't say that out of routine. I don't say that out of ritual. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our Lord and Savior. He is so many things. But when I go to Him on the throne, I address Him as our gracious Heavenly Father. He is our Father. We need to address Him in His rightful place in our life. Our Father has a special position in our life, one that garners respect and adoration. Your earthly Father has a special place in your life. Our Heavenly Father should have a special place. So we address Him firstly. Secondly, we worship Him. We praise God for who He is and all that He has done. It says, hallowed be Thy name. Blessing to Thy name. We acknowledge that it is God's will and plans are in control and not our own. We acknowledge that we are not in control of our life. Even though we want to think we are, even though we want to try to be. And as we look at this, it says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Fourthly, we ask God for the things that we have need of. God has told us, and I read in this morning's message in Micah 7:8, God loves to give. He loves to give mercy. He loves to give of His abundance. He loves it when we receive gifts. I talked to the teenagers. We did an activity a few weeks ago called our scavenger hunt activity. It was our back to school bash. And then we got to the end of the activity, and I told the teenagers, there's going to be an opportunity for each one of you to not just receive, but to give. Someone's going to earn a great prize. I passed out some ticket stubs, and I had them write the name of somebody that they wanted to give a present to give something that even though they didn't have it, but they wanted to give it. And I had a special gift, you know, hidden behind in the boxes, and I said, who would you want to give a gift to? Think of the someone who is someone on your heart, someone whose needs may be greater than yours. Someone who will be blessed by a gift. And I said, because here's the truth. How many of you love or know that it is better to give than to receive? What's better than receiving gifts at Christmas? And some of them are like, yeah, I know. Giving gifts at Christmas. You get more blessed by giving. And they all got together and they were able, we put together the names. There was a tie and I was the tiebreaker. And as a group of teenagers, they gave a gift to one of their own. And I said, it wasn't because of me. This was because of you. You gave this gift. God loves to be a cheerful, He loves a cheerful giver. God loves to give. Ask for God the things that we have need. Number five, we confess our sins and repent. Very simply here, it says, and forgive us our debts. This isn't monetary debts. This is sins and trespasses. As we forgive our debtors. And lastly, request protection and help in overcoming sin and Satan's attacks. And it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Guys, this is the model prayer. If your prayer life can consist of these attributes and these qualities, as you speak to the Heavenly Father, as you speak to the world's Creator, as you speak to your Lord and Savior, knowing that He wants to have impact in your daily life, maybe your prayer should follow along these things, these paths, these ideas. And if you don't know what to say, because I've been there before, God, I don't even know what to say. And we'll get there at the end. Follow this prayer. Say these words. Read this scripture as a prayer. and it will work for you. Number three, turn to the book of Jonah. In the Old Testament, the book of Jonah. We like this story. The book of Jonah is about a man who got swallowed by a fish. Or a whale, whichever. Jonah chapter 2. So here's the truth. None of you will probably ever get swallowed by a fish. I don't think so. But this man got swallowed by a fish that God prepared. But even though we won't get swallowed by a fish, we can still experience the same shame and regret that Jonah felt after he ran from God. Because sometimes we run from God. We talked about shame this morning. It's a good message. Get the CD. I think we have it. Might not have it. I don't know. We have shame in our life sometimes when we run from God. And just like this prayer of Jonah in chapter 2, we'll start reading verse 2. The prophets here, their plea to the Father provides a heartbreaking framework of sometimes our own prayers. Let's start reading verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, "And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction." By the way, just remember where he's at. He is in the belly of the well. And in the belly of a whale, in the middle of the ocean, he cries out to God. "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." Can you imagine? Is your brain imagining the picture of him inside the belly of the well, the waves crashing over, the weeds wrapping his head? He is tossed to and fro. He didn't just sit there on a stool waiting for God. Don't believe the fairy tales. "And I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." This is a story of a man who is running from God for his life. And God got a hold of his life. And in the midst of his demise, he's thinking he's getting ready to die. He's thinking that there is no further place to go. God saved him, and his prayer was answered. Here's my question. Many of us may not think about this. The Bible says he was in there for 3 days and three nights. Maybe he would have been there longer if he was as hard-headed as some of us. What's so special about 3 days and three nights for him? Well, I mean, what if he had repented on day one? Let me just be honest with you. How many of you, if you had a freak accident deep sea fishing and you were swallowed by an animal in the middle of the ocean, would repent before the mouth closed? Before you completely were encapsulated by the animal? You would already have been saying, "God, I'm so sorry, forgive me." It took him 3 days. 3 days, and then he prayed. Maybe that's because there's a difference in the prayer of screaming for help and the prayer of the heart. We've been there, praying for help and praying at the last minute. God, help me. This took me by surprise. I don't know what to do. God, forgive me of whatever I've done. We may be on the hospital bed, or we may be at the emergency room and say, God, whatever this is, I need your answer. I need your blessing. And Lord, if there's something you can get me through, I promise I'll go to church more. I promise I will read my Bible. I promise I'll pray. We make these vows of commitments. I promise I'll witness to my friends. If you but just help me, you know, those prayers, are they heartfelt? Are they 3 days in? Or are they shallow on the surface and, whew, man, I'm glad I got out of that one. Here's the truth. God knows. God knows. Maybe it took 3 days for Jonah's heart to truly get in line with what his words were saying. You guys ever done that, teenagers? Sometimes your heart doesn't line up with your words, especially in prayer to God. Fourth prayer, David. Turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 3. Now, the book of Psalms themselves is a book of singing praises to God and songs, but there are many of them that are also prayers. And the man named David, he was a man after God's own heart. And if there's anybody that knows how to pray, it should be the man after God's own heart. You can't go wrong when reading Psalms. Let me say it this way. You can't go wrong when praying through a psalm. We sit there and read Scripture. How many of you prayed through it? Meaning, you let the words of the Bible be your prayer. Psalm 3 provides a concise portrait here of crying out to God in the midst of great stress. You guys don't need stress. I understand. There's this day and age. It's easy, right? Information age. Everything's on computer. We got the internet in our hands. Life is not stressful. I understand. You guys don't get sarcasm yet? You're still working on it. All right. Life is midst of great stress. David's words are no less relevant here to our modern workplace and lifestyle, schools, and to the battles we face. Look at Psalms chapter 3. We'll pick up in verse 1. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? It has an exclamation point, but it's a question. Do you see that? Have you guys paid attention to that? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say, oh, of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. Guys, does your life fit this yet? Have you read verses 1 and 2? But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. That's an interesting psalm. Now, as you read through all the psalms, they flow differently. And this one is pretty interesting, especially the first part. And if you don't know what to pray, about the stress in your life, about the enemies that are around you, about the trials and the tribulations you're going through. Psalm chapter 3 is a really good example. Don't just read it, pray it. Lastly, you know, let me see here, 34. One of my life verses is Psalm 34:19. I was in Psalm 34 this morning for some things as we read the beginning of the scripture, but 34:19 goes along with Psalm 3. And Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Did you hear that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Life is not going to be easy just because you're a Christian. In fact, we've talked about this. Life is guaranteed to be more difficult. But the Lord will deliver us out of each one of our difficulties, each one of our trials or tribulations. I say this is my life verse because as a teenager, that was a lot of the struggle I went through. I had a father who was in my life and who hated me going to church. He hated the fact that I prayed. He hated the fact that I was a Christian and that I would choose to give God of any of my time. And so many of my afflictions were that he grounded me away from church and prevented me from participating in church. And church became a disciplinary tool, thinking it wouldn't stick and it was just a phase in my life. But God was deeper than that. God was more to me than anything. And so as I claim these scriptures in my life verse, I understand the tribulations that teenagers go through. And I understand the promise that God gives, that he's going to deliver us out of them all. Sometimes not on our time, but always on his. The fifth and last prayer that we should pay attention to is the prayer of Hannah. In the Old Testament, there's a book called 1 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. It was before Chronicles, before Kings. 1 Samuel chapter 2. The life of Hannah. Hannah received a child that she had begged for from God, and her first instinct is to praise the one who provided. She wanted to thank him for his greatness and his deliverance. See, too often we pray, when we pray before we receive the answer. And then once we receive the answer, we forget to pray once the answer comes. Listen to Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she hath And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep my feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. For the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And she concluded her prayer. And in her prayer, she's giving ultimate glory and honor to God for the blessing of the child that she had begged and prayed for. How often do we go back to the Lord in great thanksgiving? After we receive the answer we've been looking for, sometimes we think God owed it to us. These are example prayers. There are many others in Scripture, but know this, and I read it this morning in Hebrews. Remember, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. For God knows our heart even before we begin to utter a word out of our mouth. So even if we can't find the words to pray, sometimes our silence is exactly what God wants. See, when we stop talking and we let God begin to talk, and we allow our hearts to listen, that's when we'll start to receive some answers to our prayers. See, sometimes we misunderstand prayer. Prayer doesn't have to always be filled with noise. Teenager, your prayer life just needs to be active. Let God fill it up with the words. Use His words right here in His good book. Let Him speak to you. Let's all stand together and pray. And I'm going to ask Brother Sungmin to come and have an opportunity to come to the altar. And maybe take a second to pray. See, God hears all our prayers. He hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears every word. Listen up, teenagers. God hears the prayers of the unrighteous, but the words He hears are that of confession and forgiveness. God wants to answer your prayers. If you are a child of God, all you've got to do is but ask. You have access to the throne. If you've yet to ever ask God to forgive you, and ask God to become His child so that you can pray to Him, our Father, which art in heaven. Maybe now is a good time for you to begin a prayer life to make the God of the universe your personal heavenly Father. There is no time but the present. And if you procrastinate, you'll never know if you get another present. So So I challenge you to take the communication with the God of the universe seriously. We close in prayer. Altars are always open, whether we are here or not. The access to the Father is always available to you with a humble and contrite heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your blessings on this scripture. And thank you for the study that we have about prayer. And Lord, help our confusion. Lord, we know that you are not the author of confusion, but sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we don't know the words to say. And God, I pray that even now as we talk about prayer, we talk about what to say, that the teenagers realize and that the adults here realize, all we have to do is just open up our heart to you. All we have to do is just say what is on our mind and our heart. And Lord, that we would, in humbleness, access the throne of grace. Lord, acknowledging who you are and who we are. Help us not to take for granted the access of prayer and assume that you will always give us the things that we want. But know, Lord, that you will provide us the blessings and the things that we have need of. And Lord, we know that you know better than we do. God, I pray that you'd be with us time now as we, again, go our separate ways. Help us in our individual prayer lives, Lord, that we grow closer to you and not turn away. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.